You know, I would say that here's where we're at in the cannabis industry. You went from a situation where a lot of people were really just getting in, and it was licensing like crazy. In fact, that's all AMCO was really doing was licensing. And it has now sort of evolved into less effort on licensing and more effort on sort of tweaking regulations and trying to make the regulations work for the industry. And I've seen that phase of it, whether that's cleaning things up like allowing on-site consumption or work that's being done to fix transportation regs or fines and fees or whatever it is. And I see that sort of continuing on, at least for the next year or so. And then in conjunction with that, you're also seeing the industry in sort of a, I'd call it like a consolidation and divorce phase, where a lot of people who initially got in that may not be able to make it anymore are trying to sell or consolidate with other businesses to become vertically integrated. And a lot of deals that were made in certain businesses between multiple parties may not work either. And so you're seeing a lot of that starting to unravel at this point, a lot of license transfers and a lot of license changes in terms of the ownership. So, you know, I think that's kind of where we're at right now. The industry is where I believe it's at is sort of reaching this point that we have most of the cultivators, most of the retailers and manufacturers that the state can sustain. And so because of that, I sort of see the next phase of this really kind of strongly being on the state and the industry to look at whether or not license caps are something that the industry wants and that it would be a limited situation just like alcohol. Because if we continue to grow like we are, it's going to be very difficult for any business to make a lot of money. And there's also that risk that if you're not protected by having a limited license structure, that once federal legalization happens, you really run the risk of undermining the entire industry, because interstate commerce is going to say those people should be allowed to trade and buy and sell goods with your state.
You're on the Marijuana Industry Association Board of Directors. What are some of the pieces of legislation or the issues that you guys are focused on? Are there any kind of uphill battles or anything you think is going to get passed soon? What are you guys thinking about right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's really a few things. I mean, first and foremost is banking. The industry needs a responsible and safe way to bank that we don't currently have. And so everything's in cash. We pay our employees in cash. We pay vendors in cash. We pay our taxes in cash. And because of that, it's quite dangerous. You know, there's a lot of moving cash around on the roads and that sort of thing. And so it really complicates your ability to conduct business as a normal business and be seen as a responsible business. And it also, not being able to have banking, really prevents people from establishing banking credit history, which limits your ability to get future loans. And so things like that are really, you know, a handcuff on our industry right now. So banking, I would say, is at the top of the list. There's currently House Joint Resolution 14, which was introduced by Sarah Rasmussen, which is a resolution asking the legislature to support safe banking. So we would hope that they would all do that. And then additionally, at the federal level, there's the Fair Banking Act that Don Young has really helped push through. And so we would like to see that supported at the federal level. But banking is number one, for sure. I would say that a very close second is tax. That we have a situation right now in the state where the tax is paid entirely by the cultivator, and it's paid at $800 per pound of bud, roughly $400 per pound if it's immature bud, and right around $225 a pound for trim tax. And that's paid, again, directly by the cultivators. What we've seen over the past year and a half or so, even close to 2 years, is that there are actors within our industry that aren't paying their taxes, that are delinquent in taxes and continue to be delinquent in taxes. And it's a really tough issue, because you have cultivators who are doing everything right by the book, who are paying their taxes, who aren't missing those tax payments. And so it's creating a rift within the cultivation group themselves, but it's also highlighting this very key issue that if somebody is in arrears of their taxes, how long and how much do they get to do that for before the board would step in and want to take their license or potentially levy some large fine. And so taxes continue to be a really, really big issue. And it's a really divisive issue amongst the industry if you discuss changing the tax structure.
You mentioned, you know, minority-owned businesses. Obviously, punitive measures taken toward cannabis use disproportionately affects minorities all over the country. Do you think that people of color and Alaskans of color have been able to kind of carve out a place in the industry? Do you think that's still something that we have to work on? Where do you think we stand with that?
There's been some, you know, certainly there are some examples and some really good businesses I can think of in Anchorage that are minority owned. And so there's some, you know, but again, this does go back to that issue of banking, that if you, most all of us that got into this industry, we did it on cash. We did it on 401ks. We did it on mortgaging homes. However that happened, it was because the capital was available. If you're somebody who's trying to do this and starting out with really not much capital, you're in a very tight spot because you don't have the capital to start the business and you don't have the ability to borrow. And so, you know, that's the challenge for our industry going forward is fixing the banking issues, and that alone will help address the other issues to access.